Hey, I was just playing too.
No, no.
Sorry. I'm always in trouble. Let's open my mouth and serve foot.
As I say, you insert both feet. So I
got it. Yeah, both of them. I do. Hey, listen to this, though. It says, what happens to a society when a number of crazy people surpass the number of normal people? Unfortunately, I think we ain't too far away from finding out. A survey that was conducted last year has discovered that 90% of Americans believe that they're experiencing a mental health crisis right now. 90%.
Wow.
10 million Americans are currently taking pills for their mental or emotional health. The number of Americans that are killing themselves, it just keeps going higher and higher each passing year. But numbers certainly aren't necessary to prove the level of crazy in our society has reached heights as never seen before. All you have to do to prove that our society is descending into the abyss of insanity is going to the streets. For example, when Joe Biden's administration was searching for extremists in the military, somehow they missed this guy. Now listen to this, a servicing U.S. Air Force officer, not an enlisted man, an officer, their college, that means their college degree, is in a critical condition in a hospital after setting himself on fire outside the embassy, Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., and live streaming the results. Horrifying video was broadcast, uploaded to social media channel Switch on Saturday afternoon, and the man dressed in combat fatigue declared, "I will no longer be complacent in genocide." Flames spread over the man's body, and he shouted, "I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest," before repeatedly shouting, "Free Palestine." Now, this is an Army officer.
Air Force officer.
Yeah, an Air Force officer said himself, I mean, I've seen it. They didn't show it. They showed him pouring the chemical, the liquids on his head, and then he was taking a lighter trying to strike it, and he's having trouble striking it, and all of a sudden, when he struck it, you can see this big poof, but then they kind of blurred out the picture. But I think he died.
He did die.
Yeah, I think he died. And they're saying that, that article saying that there's probably about 90% of America is battling something like that. And the reason I brought that out is about the message. God is calling his people to a separation.
Absolutely.
He's calling his people to a separation. A separation as unto him, okay? And I'm going to pray. Father, right now, dear God, I just ask you, Lord, that you would just anoint us, oh dear God, and Lord, that this message would go out, Lord, to the young people, oh dear God, on the podcast, Lord, and the people in this room, Father God, and whoever will, dear God, hear the words of the Lord, dear God, that we would just, Lord, speak life, we would speak victory, we would speak power, we'd speak the anointing, we'd speak deliverance to every person under the sound of our voice, oh dear God, that you would just supernaturally help them in some way, shape, fashion, or form, dear God, with whatever help they need for their mental health, their spiritual health, dear God, their physical health, their financial health, whatever it is, dear God, we just loose a blessing of a generous proportions from you to them, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And I ask that in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. And in Isaiah 59:1-2. Isaiah 59:1-2. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." But listen to what he says in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he would not hear. The Holy Scriptures, this Holy Scriptures applies to many in America and to the church and to the world today. Is many of us, especially in the church, have fallen into this deal to where we let everything slide.
Mm-hmm.
Everything slide, no matter who it is or what they've done or whatever. We just keep letting everything slide, and we don't try to make ourselves accountable, and we don't try to hold our leadership to accountability. We don't try to hold each other to accountability. And I'm not saying that, but here's why I'm bringing this out. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, you know, the Bible calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The temple of the living God. And in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And who knows what a yoke is? They use yokes to have animals to put them together to where they can work them.
Right.
To where they can keep them, control of them, and work them. So it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." I cannot tell you how many people that I've seen in the past, in my lifetime, that have married unbelievers or non-Christians, and their life has become a disaster. And it says, "For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion have light with darkness?" Verse 15. And what concord, and that concord, it means harmony or agreement, has Christ with Baal? With Baal, with the devil. Or what part have he that believeth with the infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are a temple of the living God. For God said, "I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 17. "Wherefore, come out from among them," is a command from Paul and from the Holy Ghost, "and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Verse 18, it says, "And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." In verse 17, it says, we are to come out from among them and be separate. That's something we, as individuals, have to do.
Yeah.
Okay? We have to do that. All right? And it says, "Come out from among them, be separate. We must do this and no one else." And then God says, "I will receive you." Let me tell you why a lot of people are not hearing from God today in the church. Because they haven't separated themselves unto God.
You know, let me share this because...
Go ahead.
On this... You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know who she is, the congresswoman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God tells us to occupy till he comes and to be in dominion on this earth. This woman is so outspoken and
yeah,
so
bold.
Verbal. But, you know, the sweet thing, you talk about come out from among them, be you separate.
Mm-hmm.
She is not going the way of all of these Congress people.
Right.
You know, paying a lot to go along and be at peace.
Right.
She said, "I don't care whether they like me or not. I didn't come here for them to like me." She said, "I came here to do the right thing."
Right.
And it's amazing to me how she has the boldness to stand up for what is right and honest and just and honorable.
Right.
And the other day she got criticized because she was trying to tell Christian women, "You need to dress modestly so that you don't provoke men to lust." Well,
right.
She got, I mean, they lambasted her for that.
Right,
just
right.
Absolutely annihilated her for that one. But I thought, you know what, that's what's going to happen if we take a stand for what's right. The world isn't going to change until the church takes a stand.
Right.
And begins to declare, this is what's right.
Right.
I want to say this in part with this.
Go ahead.
The superintendent of our schools, Mr. Walters, I don't know his first name. He is
Ryan
Walters. Okay, he is a conservative Christian man.
Yeah, I love him.
And he is standing against all of this woke stuff. They're trying to blame him and get rid of him. 350 organizations in Oklahoma are trying to get rid of him as superintendent of schools because of what that girl that got killed, the one that's woke and transgender.
The one that was trans.
Yeah, because she got killed. They're trying to get rid of him because of his values and his conservatism, blaming him for her death.
Yeah.
And he's not backing down. He is. He's standing for his principles, and he's not apologizing for his stance. So we really need to keep
him. Yeah, he's a strong leader.
And of course, the communists, the left, are trying to get rid of him.
Right.
So that's why our government's in the shape it's in, our nation's in the shape it's in, because people that try to take a stand get annihilated, and then the Christians are set weak-willed and no spine, no backbone. They won't stand up to support their own when they're in the right because they don't want to come under the flag. Right. That's got to stop.
I agree.
Keep him up in your prayers, in
your
intercession, because I'm believing God's going to keep him right on the firing line. Speaking truth.
And this is goes right in hand with what we're teaching, and we're talking about Israel. And all of Israel's problems in the Bible started when they did not obey God's command of holy living. Yeah. Let me tell you something. That's a hint to America.
That's right.
All of Israel's problems in the Bible started when they did not obey God's commands of holy living. And if you go to Psalm 78, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and it says, Psalms 78:1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to my word." And when he says incline my ears, this is what he's saying. Look at me. When he's saying incline your ears, he's mean you're supposed to go like this.
Right.
You're supposed to bend over with your hand to your ear to hear what God is saying. It says, "I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old." And that's what Jesus did all through the Gospels, is he spoke in parables. It says, verse 3, which we have heard and known, our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. This is Israel speaking, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That's what we're supposed to do, is make the laws of God known to our children. Let me tell you something right now. These younger generations, they have no godly principles. They have no godly. I think with our generation was probably one of the last ones that tried to raise their kids in church. I'm talking about my generation, Generation X.
Right.
What is that? No.
I turned the heater on. She's coming.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. But anyway, and let me see, it says, going back to Psalm 78, Israel, they did not obey God's commands, and through verse, and it says, the generation, verse 6, the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, and should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments, and not be, as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Children of Ephraim, being armed, carrying bows, turned their back in the day of battle. Hang on, let me go. I got a couple more verses. They kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders he had showed them. And let me say this. That's today's generations.
Yeah.
They have not acknowledged God. They have turned their back on God. Their kids have No, these generation, what is Generation Z?
Yeah.
And some of these kids are just, I feel bad for them. They have right. no, now some of our the kids in our families and stuff do have training.
Right.
But I'm talking about in general, most of them don't have no training at all.
Right.
And I'm just saying, if we don't help get this turned around, by emphasizing what Pastor Judy was talking about, like Sister Green's been talking about in Congress and stuff like that, and getting back to holiness and righteous living before God and before humanity. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, this country, I lay at bed at nighttime and God shows me things, and this country is in terrible, terrible shape. And I believe that God is going to do a work in this country, but I do have real strong convictions and concerns about this country's future. Okay, it says, it talks about, hang on, let me go back to where it was. We must put God first in his ways versus what we want to do. Are you living a holy life before God? That's the question I'm asking. Are you living a holy life before God? And I'm talking about the people in this room, which I believe that they are, but I'm also talking to the people on the podcast. In 1 Peter 1:15, but it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation there is another word for conduct. Are you living a holy life in your conduct?
Amen.
Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
God wants, holy means to be separated or set apart for the use of God, for a holy purpose. And we're supposed to be holy.
2 Peter 2:9.
Yeah, 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that have called you out of darkness into his marvelous life, marvelous light. A life of separation from the world. James 4:4. Now here's what James calls people that's not living a separated life. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That's pretty plain spoken. It's real plain language. And I'm going to give an example. I got a real good example here, and I got a few illustrations I'll show you, and then we're going to close. But it says, we have an example, and God's giving this example about Hosea, the prophet Hosea, in the Old Testament. And he God had him marry a woman named Gomer, and she was a prostitute. And in Hosea 1, it said, these are the messages from the Lord to Hosea, the son of Beeri, during the reign of the four kings of Judah. The king Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, King Hezekiah, and one of the kings of Israel, Jeroboam, the son of Joaz. And here's the first message. And here's what the Lord said to Hosea. Go and marry a girl who is a prostitute, so that some of her children will be born to you from other men. Now, God's telling this guy to do that.
So, where's this? Hosea 1?
Hosea 1:1, and I'm going to go through verse 9. Yeah. It said, go marry a girl who is a prostitute, and some of the children will be born to you from other men. This will illustrate the way my people have been untrue to me, committing open adultery against me by worshiping other gods. Now stop and think for a minute. He's actually having this prophet marry a woman that is a prostitute, and he does this knowing that she's going to be unfaithful to him.
Right.
But God wanted to show us what we put him through.
Right.
Yeah. It said, what other gods do you have in your life? That's the question I got to ask. What other gods do we have in our life? So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said, name the child Jezreel. For in the valley of Jezreel, I'm about to punish King Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murders he has committed. In fact, I will put an end to Israel as an independent kingdom, breaking the power of the nation in the valley of Jezreel. Now here's Israel, a nation, 10, 11 tribes of Israel, that God abandoned them. He abandoned them. He totally cut them off. People in America has got to understand this. This is what's going to happen to America if she keeps abandoning God. Amen. Verse 6. Soon Gomer had another child. And this one was a daughter. And God said to Hosea, name her La Rahama, meaning no more mercy. For I will have no more mercy upon Israel to forgive her again. Now this is God saying, I won't forgive Israel anymore for what she's done to me. Have you ever thought about a person that the Bible calls as of a reprobate mind?
Yeah.
That's under grace. A reprobate mind is somebody that their mind, God has turned over to a reprobate mind, and they won't be forgiven. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. I think there's a lot of people in America. I think there's a lot of people in the church that are reprobates,
right?
Because of their thinking and stuff like that. You know, we've got a president here in this nation that supports abortion. It don't matter what term they're in. It don't matter if the baby's born alive. They support, if that woman wants that baby killed, they support that. They support any and all things that are contrary to the Word of God and any type of holy living.
Absolutely.
And yet they confess that they go to this church, or they're a part of this religion, or they're a part of this denomination or whatever. Let me tell you something. If you're not gone by the Word of God, if we're not following the Word of God, mm-hmm. we are deceived.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Beyond measure, okay?
Yeah.
It says, I will have no more mercy upon Israel to forgive her again. Verse 7, but I will have mercy on the tribe of Judah. I will personally free her from her enemies with any help from her armies or her weapons. Israel had become reprobate, a sinner who is not of the elect. I just wonder how many sinners there are in the church or in America that's not of the elect.
Right.
Well,
after Gomer had weaned La Rahama, she again conceived at this time and gave birth to a son. And God said, call him Lo Amani, meaning not mine. Now see, me being a father and knowing that you have a child that you think yours, your hope is yours, but then you find out it's not yours, what that would do to the father. And I'm sure it would apply the same way if it was to the girl. But it says, for Israel is not mine and I'm not her God. Is God saying this about us? Is he saying this about America? I don't think he is, but I tell you what. I think it's time for people to really quit playing games with God and get serious about it. Now I'm going to change the tune of this a little bit, and I'm going to talk about idols in our lives, okay? And we ain't got much more to go. And here's what an idol is. Things that take our focus off of God. Mm-hmm. And here's one idol. People, our constant need to impress people. We don't care about right or wrong or more or less what God or God does. We always just want to impress somebody.
Yeah.
Okay? And so the number one is self. Yeah. The idol. Some of us need freedom from self. If there's anyone in this room that ever needed freedom from self, it's me. Okay? I'm just telling you. My wife's even shaking her head. Another one, an idol, security. It comes from Christ and not from our job or from our careers.
Yep.
Our security comes from Christ only. Okay. Number three, approval. We want to be liked above our relationship with God, and it should be the other way around. In other words, we want to be liked above our relationship with God. You know, that's the most important thing to us. We want to be liked.
Right.
Versus our relationship with God.
Right.
Okay? Number four, relationship. God, not mate or children, but God. God is the first thing in your life. Not your spouse, not your children, not your grandchildren, even though all that's cool. Right. God is the first thing in your life. And I can say that most people in this room, everyone in this room, I can see that in their lives, that God is the most number one thing in their life. But people on the podcast, and if anybody's in here, that needs to... Go ahead, Peyton.
Also... You can put a TV show before God.
Yeah, a TV show. Yeah. Which one you like?
Well, I used to idolize true crime.
True crime? Yeah, yeah. I understand. Yeah. Okay, relationship. God, not our mate or our children, but God. The number five thing is success. Our identity must be found in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. Not in who we are, not that we're great salesmen, not that we're great boxers, not that we're great this or great that. Our success has to be found in our identity in Christ alone. Number six, wealth, seeking riches. There's nothing wrong with people having money or being prosperous and all that stuff. But there is something, and I want to share this one scripture with you. Go with me to Mark, and let me go to Mark 10. And like I said, I do believe that God does want us to prosper and all that stuff, but sometimes it can get out of balance with us. And it says in verse 10:17, it says, "And when he had gone forth into the way, there come one running and kneeled down to him and said, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your mother and your father. And he answered and said to the masters, I have observed these from all my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, One thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up your cross and follow me. And it said that the man went away very grieved because he had great possessions. And let me say this. I know people, I have a friend of mine that's got a lot of money, and he got in an argument and a debate with me the other day, something totally contrary to what the Bible teaches. Just plain common sense stuff. And I thought to myself, is this what riches have done for you? It's brought you to a fact that you know more than God.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can overrule God and His Word. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now let me finish this up. In Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want to stop right there. I don't know how many times I've done this, and how many times I've heard people come to me and say, Pastor or brother, could you pray for me? Because I want to find out God's will for my life. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard that over the years, especially from younger Christians. And it says here, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Yeah.
You're going to find God's will from reading His Word.
Amen.
From reading His Word. Conform means to comply with the rules, standards, or laws. Christian have a higher standard, and it is called the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the standard we're to go by. A couple more scriptures. 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot love the world and God at the same time. Many in the church seem to have a great love for this world versus God. Okay, and here's what I feel that God had me to say. I'm calling for a rededication of us. I'm talking about America. To repent and rededicate ourselves and our families to the service of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so that's really kind of the end of the message. And I just, like I said, I'm calling for a rededication of us, talking about us in here, in America, to repent and rededicate ourselves and our families to the service of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can we do an altar call?
Yeah, I'd like to do one right now, Pete, if okay. It's all right.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
No, you can do it.
Okay. Dear Father, right now, dear God, I call, Lord, I call for those out there, dear God, under the sound of my voice, oh God, that's strayed from you, dear God. Lord, I call for those, Lord, that's not walking with you, dear God. I call for those, Lord, that have backslid on you, dear God. I call for those that, Lord, that know there's not walking in your perfect will, dear God, walking in your way, Father. And I call upon them, dear God, that they would repent and that they would turn their lives back around to you, O God, and, Lord, that they would rededicate themselves to you, rededicate their families to the service of God through Jesus Christ. Father, and I'm going to lead everyone here and also on the podcast in this prayer, and I'd like for you to take the time just to listen to the prayer and repeat it after me, and then we'll close. And I just say, Dear Father, I repent
of my
sins
and of my lifestyle
and the way I live towards you.
And the way I live towards you.
Lord, you said if I would confess with my mouth,
the Lord Jesus,
and believe in my heart,
that
you raised him from the dead,
I would be saved.
Lord, I do believe it.
Lord, I do believe it.
And I do confess it.
And I do confess it.
Before man, for man and the world that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Lord,
I not only rededicate myself,
but I rededicate
my family,
my children,
everything that I have,
I rededicate it to you,
to the service of God,
through Jesus Christ.
And Lord, I thank you, Father.
I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your leadership. I thank you for your direction.
And I pray this prayer.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to listen. I want you to find you a spirit-filled church and read it and get in there and read the Bible. And be active in your church. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, the Lord. Amen.
Amen. May I add something right quick before I
stop?
All right. In the name of Jesus, Father, I prophesy as you've spoken to me, Holy Spirit. I prophesy to the four winds of the earth. Breathe on these slain that they may live. I ask right now that everyone in this room, as well as everyone on this podcast, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you that would seal not only this message, but the prayer that was prayed, Father God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And just in case I forget to do one at home, don't forget today is communion. Hello, everybody, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Design for Victory podcast. I apologize for taking so long to get this screen recorded for those of you that are on the podcast and on YouTube. But so if you enjoyed this, I would encourage you to like, comment, share, subscribe if you're on YouTube, or like, share, rate the show, comment, follow if you're on if you're on Spotify. Also, yeah, on the end, it'll say what you think about this episode, and that's where you can put your comments. There's only one chance that you'll be able to do that, though, on the podcast, so, as I discovered. But you can also, if you would like, you can also log into YouTube and put any further comments on the video if you would like to do that as well. Or you can go to Storm Ministries, S-T-O-R-M. No, www.stormministries, stormministries.com. Again, that's stormministries.com. And go to contact. And that's one place. And then also on the homepage of the website, there's a heading that says Help Our Cause. And that's where if you'd like to donate, feel free to donate. Into this ministry, all donations go to the furtherance of the gospel and to the Homeless Alliance. Also, you can email kingdomadvancement252@gmail.com, kingdomadvancement252@gmail.com. Or you can write to Preach Unto Them Jesus or Putt J, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. Again, that's Putt J, or Preach Unto Them Jesus, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. And I think that's about it. But I want to thank you very much once again for listening. Please write to us and let us know if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have rededicated your life to Him. And we will see you either today, if I do a teaching today, I'll just say we'll see you in the next podcast. Also, don't forget, we will not be recording services tomorrow, so I will be... I will be posting a sermon in place of what would have been our sermon for tomorrow. So thank you all very much for listening. See you then. God bless.